All right, hi everybody, and welcome back. Welcome to lecture 64 in this American History program of History at Our House for the junior and senior high class. This is the continuation of the story of the founding era. And so we've got a little bit of an unusual lineup for this coming week here. As you were told before the break, this would be a test week. And so, in some regards, that's pretty usual. In other words, we're going to do Monday and Tuesday lectures of some sort, and then Wednesday will be History Through Art, which is a switch, right? And then Thursday will be the test preparation class. Now, normally, we do kind of a class that is dedicated to review, and then you get the test preparation sheets on Monday, and then we get a new class of material on Tuesday. I gotta switch that up a little bit in a couple regards. One is, we need these two classes to complete the material. So we won't really have a dedicated review class. The review process, therefore, is gonna be in your hands. And it's gonna come down primarily to, I imagine, your test preparation questions. Reading the class notes is a big deal. Rereading the class notes is a big deal. But the test preparation sheets are, of course, your main hint about the format of the test and stuff like that. And then the other thing that's different, though, apart from needing today and tomorrow to complete the material, is that the test preparation sheets will only be available tomorrow. So that means that you are down to 2 days of test prep. So in anticipation of that fact, I want you to make a plan and figure out how you're going to deal with a little bit less time than you've had in the past, and still be successful. So if you've already finished your writing assignment, then, well, you won't have a conflict there. So good for you. If you haven't, then you're going to have an extra challenge. And, you know, you're just going to have to figure out how to manage this particular challenge and get ready for Thursday anyway. And for many years, History at Our House students only had 2 days of test prep and they managed it. So I don't see any reason why this group can't manage as well. But it is a little bit of a challenge because you've been used to having 3 days. So the test prep sheets will only be out tomorrow. But let me just point out that you do have a resource right now that matters. And that is that if you go to the class webpage, you get to the March content, which is available now. And for you junior high students, well, you will notice that then your class notes are already available. So at least you have that. And the class notes are for last week's material and this week's material. So it's everything that you need, with the previous weeks, of course. Everything that you need for the test, you have now in terms of class notes. So my recommendation to you is you read this today. And that will benefit you in two ways, at least. three ways. One, it will benefit you as a review of important topics such as the Bill of Rights and some of these other things that we'll also talk about today, though. So it'll benefit you as a review, but then also it'll benefit you as a preview. Here we go. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and then finally James Monroe. It'll benefit you as a preview because we're going to talk about those guys tomorrow and what their contribution is to the theme that we're going to pursue here. And, well, lastly, it'll benefit you because you'll be more prepared to do the test prep sheets. You'll already have this as a context, and you'll be reminded of things. You go in and do the test prep sheets starting tomorrow, you'll be more ready to do them. So I definitely recommend reading these class notes today as part of your test prep exercise, and then you'll get the sheets tomorrow. Okay. So, as for today, I want to do a kind of, the theme that I want to highlight is connected to this content that we're studying right now. America under its founding presidents. And, or for short, the founding era. And the theme goes kind of like this. There would be no United States of America without... dot, dot, dot. And now you've encountered this phrase, right, so many times already. And we're going to review that idea here today. But we're going to review it with an aim towards understanding that there's a whole subset of statements that can be made that way that are a little bit more specific. There's a whole bunch of things that we can say that go like this. There would be no United States of America without the founding fathers, dot, dot, dot. So when we look back on history, in various cases, we can find an individual or a group or a series of events that matter. And we then come out and we say, well, if this hadn't happened, then there wouldn't be a United States. Okay, so that is quite significant. But it doesn't get any more significant. It doesn't get any more important and worthy of attention than the Founding Fathers, because there are so many cases in which we can look at what they did and say, if they hadn't done that, there wouldn't be a United States of America. And so this is the importance of thinking of the Founding Fathers in relation to the American Revolution and in relation to the founding era. So we're going to get to that, but we're going to get to that by way of kind of practicing this thought on some of the classics and also some of the other ones that we haven't had much of a chance to review. So let's do it. I would like to propose that we try to say this, we make this claim, which I think is valid. There would be no United States of America for every single one of the facts of which it is true, and that means every single one of these. So, in the square. Obviously, this does not lead to the United States of America over here. It's an anchor fact of history because it deals with the world that we live in right this moment. But every single one of these things over here has to do with whether or not there would even be a United States of America. So I want to see if you guys can formulate it in that particular way. And so I'm going to ask each person to do one. So if you don't want to do a hard one, you should probably volunteer to do an easy one as quick as you can. So who wants to start? There would be no United States of America without... dot, dot, dot. Pick one of these anchor facts. Or, if you want to be original and do something else, go ahead. All right, but let's get the ball rolling here. So, Sophie, start us off.
There would be no United States of America without Columbus discovering America.
Okay, true statement. Can you elaborate? Why is that the case? Why is that true?
You need somewhere to put the United States of America, and you can't put it if it's not there.
Okay. Who's putting it? Who is making this thing called the United States of America?
Founding Fathers.
Okay. And they, before they became Americans, what nationality did they have?
British.
British, right? And British means European. And how did Europeans know there was an America?
By discovering.
Okay, yeah. Exactly. All right, perfect. Right? All right, so you can see the chain here, right? That it's a chain that basically is necessary. If we don't have this is a necessary precursor. Or did we come to that? Did we talk about that phrase, the old sine qua non, the other day? Right? These are all sine qua nons, right, of American history. All right, so who else can give me another sine qua non of American history here? Got some easy ones, some hard ones, but okay, Micah, give me one.
There could be no United States of America without the founding of America by the founding fathers in 1776.
Okay.
Because they, like, it would still from Britain, it would still be in the power of Britain, and, like, it would just be a lot of people running around in America.
Okay.
Best country.
Yeah, right. It would still be a set of colonies, or it would still be a part of the British Empire. Now, that's possibly not quite true, right? Because if we look around the world and we see places like Canada, Australia, New Zealand in particular, these were part of the British Empire, and now they essentially are independent countries. So it's quite possible that at some juncture, the United States would have become independent, but in a very different way. It would not have been the thing that it is. It would not have been the United States of America had it not declared, the founders not declared independence. So actually, that's already one of the ones that I was just mentioning that we're going to get to, right? So I'll come back to that one. But we certainly have quite a few more. So, Bria, go ahead.
Magna Carta, if it hadn't been signed, there wouldn't be an example of not having monarchy. If we had had monarchy, then it would be a totally different thing. It wouldn't be America. It just wouldn't be America.
You're on the right track, but be careful. What kind of government did the Magna Carta create?
It created a more controlled by the people.
Yeah, what's the name for that, though? It's a set of rules, a set of laws that controls the monarchy.
Yeah.
What's it called? Okay, well, in the U.S., we have a fundamental set of laws. What's that called? The?
Constitution.
The Constitution. So now, if you have a set of laws and a king, what's that called? All right, just take those two words and put them together. Constitution plus monarchy equals?
I'm so sorry.
You're just blocking up there, but basically constitutional monarchy. Nothing more complicated than that. Okay? So, yeah, we gotta be precise. You're on the right track, Bria. We have to say, without the establishment of the constitutional monarchy of Britain, there wouldn't have been a tradition of Englishmen resisting monarchy. And therefore, as you say, Bria, Americans wouldn't have had that to build on. They wouldn't have been able to create America because they wouldn't have had this tradition of liberty. The founding fathers said, we're Englishmen. We have the rights of Englishmen. And then they got even clearer. They said, we're humans. We have rights of individuals. So it's not about whether you're in one country or another. It's that you are a human being, and that's why you have rights. And so they got clearer and clearer on that, and that's why we have a republic instead of a monarchy. But the Magna Carta was a step in the right direction. Okay, good. I'm glad we went to Magna Carta right there. Piper, what's your example?
It would be a United States of America without the birth of Jesus in 4 BC because Christianity is such a huge religion and pilgrims came to America to escape religious prosecution.
All right. Yeah. Now that's a good start. And this is definitely a really huge historical anchor, right? Because you said two examples, right? Because the importance of Christianity as a religion, it's the largest religion in the world. And the pilgrims who came here, and not just the pilgrims, right? I mean, they were a certain kind of Christian, but so were the Anglicans, and so were all the Catholics, of course, that came to Maryland and so on. They were all Christians, and they were all dealing with the issue of, well, the Reformation, which isn't on here, right? But we could bring that one up, too. And so we have America as a country of religious freedom. Yeah, that is something that really essentially ties back to Jesus and the nature of Christianity. The challenges that are posed by people that are Christian but that don't agree on Christianity and so on. And you could probably make a lot of different links here, right? So yeah, absolutely. Christianity is a crucial component of this story. It's really embedded in the civilization all over the place. Okay, so let's see here. We've got Columbus, we've got the birth of Jesus, we've got the Magna Carta, we have the Declaration of Independence. Okay, who's our next one? Timothy.
There could
could not be a United States of America without the fall of Rome in 476 AD.
All right, why?
Because when Rome fell, it meant that there was no... Well, sorry. When Rome fell, it allowed Europe to be created because there was no longer an empire there. And because of that, that led to the discovery of America, which, more importantly, it allowed Europe to be created, but more importantly, it allowed Britain to be created, which is responsible for America. If we didn't have a Great Britain, we wouldn't have a United States of America.
That's really good, Timothy. That's excellent. So you're talking about here interconnection between the anchors, which is excellent. You're exactly right. Well, the fall of Rome, you don't get the proliferation of European countries, these different separate national cultures. You don't get Columbus sailing for Spain, right? I mean, Spain, what's that? You don't get an Italian mariner working for the Queen of Castile and so on. You also don't get Englishmen in a separate country thinking, oh, that's not good enough. Let's send John Cabot over there and he'll discover the northern part for us. And this whole unfolding story of these competing European nations doing these against each other, competing against each other, ultimately leading to English colonization. So you're exactly right that it's a kind of a winding path here, but it is true to say that, you know, America arises in a European context. And that whole European context doesn't come about unless Rome gives way, unless Rome disappears and there's a new start. Now, you know, it's, in some ways that's good, and in some ways it's really tragic because that means you've got to go through the Dark Ages. That means you've got to have 1,000 years between this and this. So, wow, I mean, humanity needed a reset there. It took a while, and then you get the Renaissance and the rebirth of the ancient knowledge, and then, yes, now we're ready to start building something new and great, including a new kind of freedom. Okay, Alexander, next one.
There could be no United States of America without the Athenian democracy and Roman Republic.
Okay,
it's
why?
Pretty similar to the Magna Carta, but not exactly the same. The founding fathers wouldn't have any examples to create any government without those ancient Athenian and Roman democracies and republics, and so they would have to start from scratch on creating a new type of government. So while the Magna Carta gave them that British tradition, English tradition of freedom, and trying to make the power of the king less, the Athenian democracy and Roman Republic let them have a completely different kind of government, and it was an inspiration.
True. And the thing is, with the democracy and the republic, you don't have a king at all. Now, when you're doing, right? So when you're doing your thinking about, well, what are the different options here, right? And thinking requires, in order to have any, in order to do any significant thinking, you can't just work from one example. Because thinking requires that you generalize. It requires that you think in terms of concepts. And you can't form concepts with just one example. You certainly wouldn't be able to just magically create the concept of a republic if you didn't have a chance to kind of think about examples of not having a king. Now, that's what's, in a way, that's what's so heroic about the Athenians and the Romans, was they didn't have an example to go on. So it's, you know, that's when you get a creator. That's when you get an inventor. And Columbus is like that too, as an individual who provides just something absolutely new. That's, those are the most phenomenal forms of progress in history. And this was great because the founders got to use those examples and then they got to think in terms of rights And well, that pull in at least those three major traditions and histories and build a new country that was better than any of them before. So that's the outcome is so great, in part because it's constructed on this base. Okay, we've got two more to do. And the hardest one is Manes Narmer. I don't know who's going to be able to do that one. Keen, go ahead.
All right, so there could be no United States of America without Jamestown and Plymouth as colonies founded in 1607 and 1620, respectively, because we need Europeans in America to create the United States, more specifically Englishmen. The Native Americans weren't going to create the United States, and so we need these Europeans, Englishmen here. We need established colonies, successful colonies that will grow into cities and then end up with Boston and, you know, Plymouth and all these great towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just the Native Americans that never would have done it, but none of the other Europeans would have done it either, right? I mean, so the Spanish and the Portuguese, if you want to see what they would have done, well, you don't have to guess. They did it. And it's called Mexico and Argentina and Brazil and all those other countries. And it's obvious which one turned out the best. So, yeah, it's really important that it's the English coming over here. They are the ones that had some unique values that would germinate here in this new soil and produce this outcome that's so fantastic. Now, Piper, put your hand down. Now, unless you have a follow-up. Now, here's the hardest one of all. Does anybody think they can make a statement that goes like this? There would be no United States of America without the unification of Egypt by Menes Narmer. Does that hold up? What do you guys think? I'm going to suggest there is a way that we can make that work. But it's the hardest one. Keen, what's your attempt?
I don't think that we can say specifically the unification of Egypt by Menes Narmer in 3000 BC is a sine qua non for American history. But what we can say is that without the precedent of monarchy, this unquestioned sort of government that was literally the norm, of course, except for ancient Athens and ancient Rome, without that, we would not have European history. It's not really Menes Narmer specifically. He's our figurehead because we can't see farther back than him. Mm-hmm. So it's really without monarchy, without that unquestioned precedent that we don't get, you know, European history and then America coming as a solution to the problem of monarchy.
Okay, I like that. I'm going to build on that and give Timothy a chance to give his version of it.
Okay, yeah, I think I was going to say roughly what Keen said, that we couldn't have a United State. We kind of couldn't have a United States of America without monarchy, without monarchy being the norm and America being the new, the revolutionary government that changed the world.
Okay. All right. I'm going to help you guys here because you're on the right track, and you're both right that the key here is not so much Menes Narmer as an individual, but Menes Narmer as a symbol, or Menes Narmer as a stand-in for the whole category that he represents. And you are right to note that the specific category is monarchy. Okay? Micah, I wouldn't go so far as to say he's the creator or the inventor, right? Because I think it's pretty easy to imagine there were plenty of monarchies beforehand. And we actually have evidence that there were, you know, different states and imagine for a second, there was Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt before 3000 BC. So, and that therefore we know that they both had monarchies, except now there's, instead of two, there's going to be one, right? And we also know that in ancient India, ancient China, ancient Mesopotamia, in prehistory, there were prehistorical civilizations, and it's almost certain that they had monarchies. And so it's not an invention so much as, but here it is. Here's the thing that, that I think is more generally important about Manet's number. And the fact that history starts circa 3000 BC. And that is that you cannot have a United States of America until human beings innovate government. Okay, because prior to this point in history, you don't have any societies that have a sufficiently stable and an ordered society where you can get a government that it's going to start producing records and it's going to start basically being a permanent, producing a kind of permanent record of its human activities so that we can see it 5,000 years later. The only way you can do that and start to build, and the reason why we have progress, thanks to history, is because the record is kept and maintained, and we look back and we see, oh yeah, this is when we started to work on the problem. This is when we started to innovate in terms of government and unify large states under a single government. Work on the problems. You got to do lots of things to have a government. The simplest one is monarchy because it's an authority. It's almost like a family turned into a giant. It's almost like a giant family with the father figure right at the top. But nonetheless, it's an innovation that has to happen. And then, as you so rightly stated, Keane and Timothy, what happens after that is the innovation continues. Because monarchy doesn't solve all our problems. It's better than anarchy. But, and there are a lot better kinds of government, so constitutional monarchy, or in Athens, they come up with this idea of complete power sharing in the democracy. In the Republic, they come up with an even deeper, more profound idea that basically you should take the power away from the government, separate it out, make a constitution to limit its functions, and all of these amazing ideas. And then you build and build, and it takes a long time, and until you get to America. But that's part of the wonder of it, is that America here, 1776, that's almost 5,000 years after human beings began to innovate in government in a manner that produced records and which allows us to then look back and compare and make notes and say, oh, what about this or what about that? Okay, so Alexander's got a sound issue, but I think it's probably temporary. Okay, so now, excellent. So like I said, I wanted this to be a lead up to the following statement, of which we now have one example. There would be no United States of America without the founding fathers, ... Now, we already have one of this type, right? One of this type of statement. There would be no United States of America without the founding fathers declaring independence from Britain. Absolutely. Okay. So there was the rebellion against the mother country. That's number one. But that does not create, right, the United States of America. It declares the intention of the founding fathers to do so. But of course, it doesn't just happen, right? Because you rebel against the mother country resists. So what's the next way that we could complete that sentence to acknowledge the role of the founding fathers here in the birth of the United States? What's the next thing they had to do? Britain didn't say, okay, go ahead, you're independent. So what did they have to do, Juliet?
To win the War of Independence.
Exactly. The Founding Fathers had to lead America in the War of Independence, in the Revolutionary War. And in that capacity, of course, George Washington is the most crucial actor. Right? Okay, so that's number two. They had to declare independence. That took a lot of guts. That took a lot of smarts. That took everything. And then they had to put it in action in the Revolutionary War. Okay, then they win the Revolutionary War. Is that enough to create a United States of America? How else do we... What's the next part of this story? There would be no United States of America with a capital U unless... What's the next thing? Capital U as opposed to a tiny one, right? Timothy?
There would be no United States of America if they were not able to survive without a mother country.
Yes, okay, but how did they survive? What was the thing that they had to do?
They had to unite.
They had to unite, okay. They had to unify under a single federal government. All right, so that's part three, and now we get to part four. So again, there would be no United States of America, and here is the topic that we are currently looking at. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this. The topic has to do with, okay, you've declared independence, you've won independence, you've unified for independence. Is there, what, you still have to do more? What else? What else do we have to do here to be independent? Well, now that we've got a country, we have to put into practice that which we have declared is our intention. We have to put the theory into practice. We have to prove to the world that we mean it. We're going to unify under a constitution and amend that with a Bill of Rights. We can all put that kind of all in the same category. But then, here's the fourth statement that I think we need to focus on. There would be no United States of America if the founding fathers had not known how to protect America in its infancy. If the founding fathers had not maintained America's independence during its infancy. That would be probably a better statement. If the founding fathers had not known how to maintain independence. So think of it kind of like this way. You declare independence. You win independence. You fight for independence. You create a country, a government capable of sustaining independence. And then you've got to do it. You've got to be independent. So it's, you know, it's never as easy as just saying you're going to do it. So this is the last part. This chapter of the founding era is when the founding fathers, all of the presidents, there were five of them, who took an active role in the American Revolution, went on to become the leaders of the country and put these principles that they had asserted into practice. Show what they would really mean when you encounter all those complicated situations that life throws at you. What does it mean to say a government is supposed to secure the individual's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? Those are really fascinating words, but what does it mean? What does that look like in real life? And the biggest problem that the founding fathers were going to encounter was that they had this young country, this young nation that was still fragile and still susceptible to the machinations of the world's superpowers at the time. When America was born, it was a Eurocentric world. It was the Europeans that had their empire stretching around the world. So America was just barely getting on its own 2 feet. Barely, you know, being able to declare and with the help of France, become independent. So now it's got to stand up and figure out, okay, now that we made it this far, and we're in a world full of bullies, wow, what do we do now? How do we navigate through this through this set of challenges. And this is the first key principle that George Washington, we already talked about this, and it's a review, but it's just so that we can recapture the context and again, be ready for this last lecture tomorrow. Okay, so George Washington faced a crisis in his presidency, arising from the French Revolution. It looked like such a wonderful thing. You've got France, one of the world's superpowers, and it looks like it's going to become a republic. How wonderful. So many Americans believe this is great. Imagine a world in which with France as a republic. This is going to be great. There'll be unlimited progress. You know, we'll be allies and everybody in the world will eventually be free. How terrific. And then on the other hand, well, not everybody was as hopeful. And not only that, but England, on the other hand, a lot of people and leaders in America thought, no, it makes more sense for us to help our mother country and mend the wounds of the revolution and return to having a good relationship with our mother country, because the mother country has the greatest empire in the world and we should trade with it and we should just develop that relationship, which is the most natural one for us to develop. So there were different arguments. Let's go one way or the other here. But George Washington, as president, and his advisors had to argue this out. They had to face the situation and say, what is the best way to do what we said we would do? We said that a government should secure the rights of its citizens. How does that work in this context? On the one hand, we have an ally, France, seemingly headed towards forming a republic. And on the other hand, we have our mother country and our greatest trading partner and the most powerful country in the world. What do we do? What path here can we define for America that will lead us to, well, that will allow us to further this fundamental objective, to protect the rights of our citizens? And so this is George Washington's answer is neutrality. Stay out. It'll be great if France can actually become a republic. As it turns out, it failed. Became a monarchy again. First under Napoleon, and then under subsequent kings for a while. It took a long time before the French could even get rid of their kings altogether. And then even then, they messed up badly. And they still have lots of problems trying to figure out how to have a proper government these days. So that didn't work. But again, you know, whether or not France was successful here was not the key. The key was the American government has a responsibility to its citizens. Protect their rights. How do you do it? And the clearest statement that George Washington made concerning this challenge is my favorite quote from his farewell address is this one. The great rule of conduct for us. I think that's a beautiful phrase. The great rule of conduct for America is to seek as little political connection as possible with other countries. So, to use another word, to minimize political connectivity with others. That doesn't mean commercial relations means trade. We want that. Trade is good. But getting entangled in their politics is not. Because, sadly, they don't know what rights are and they don't believe in them. Now, at some point, maybe France would become and prove itself to become, you know, a real republic, and it would be worth being an ally of. But at that point, nobody knew what was going to happen. And as it turns out, and those of you who have studied European history with me know, it was a mess. The French didn't know how to make a republic. It was very sad. And it became a terrifying, the revolution just completely unraveled. It became horrible, right? The guillotine and all that stuff. So this proved to be just an amazing set of principles here, or rule of conduct, great rule of conduct. It was exactly the right thing to do. And then he said, well, this is what we should do from now on. And then we talked about this as well. We'll leave on this note for today. So we'll be ready for the next three presidents. But John Adams was the second president. And when he realized, I think among all of his contributions was the importance of strengthening the United States. He himself said, well, the most important thing was that I ever did was avoiding war with France. So it was complicated because the French, as their revolution was falling apart, were very desperate and very, dishonorable in their conduct. And it got even worse when Napoleon was in charge. They were very aggressive towards anybody that wasn't explicitly on their side. American ships were getting their cargoes hijacked and so on, and their property stolen, and Americans were losing their lives, and oh, it was terrible. But he basically said, we cannot afford to get into a war with France. That would be a disaster. So we got to protect ourselves the best we can. So this was known as the undeclared war or the quasi war. So, you know, he said, well, we'll fight as best as we can. And most importantly, we're going to start building up our Navy. Because if you're in a world of bullies, you need to be able to protect yourself. It's not enough to walk around patting yourself on the back saying, we stand for rights, we stand for rights. If you can't stand for them, if you can't actually stand up to the other countries out there and legitimately defend rights. So he's sometimes known as the father of the Navy as president for ordering the beginning of the American Navy. All right, so we'll continue this theme. This will be perfect. This is perfect. We'll pick up this. On Tuesday, we'll have the next three presidents. And again, we'll continue the theme. Independence for rights. How do you maintain independence? You've declared it. You fought for it. You created a government that can back it up, but you got to put it into action. And so we'll continue with the next three presidents tomorrow. And that will be the sum of this era, the founding era. And we'll be in a perfect place to take the test. Okay, so look for those test prep sheets. I will put them on the class webpage even possibly before tomorrow's class. So you might have a chance to start working on them then. So look for them as soon as they get out there. And of course, read these notes today. Especially read the new notes for Jefferson and the rest. That way you'll have a preview of what's to come. All right. Excellent. Also, of course, I look forward to your homework submissions. Good luck with that. Bye for now, folks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.